Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
All right, I want to paint a very vivid picture for you all because the American people deserve to understand where our taxpayer dollars are going. The proposal that Donald Trump is making for the fiscal year of 2027 in the budget is absurd. He wants to make cuts to some of the most important programs that Americans rely on. He wants to make cuts towards scientific progress, towards cancer research. He wants to cut funding for the Department of Labor by a proposed 28% to 35%, and all of this is to make space for a massive increase in the military budget. The proposal is they want to increase the military budget by 60%, up to $1.5 trillion, in order to pay for more missiles to replace the missiles that we're currently wasting with our failing Iranian war. Donald Trump's administration has been such a mess that they even appointed Elon Musk to a special position to cut waste, fraud, and abuse, and to reduce the deficit, and the deficit has increased since then. So one more time, I want to paint a very vivid picture of where our taxpayer dollars could be going, what we could be investing in, things like paid family leave, things like free college, like New Mexico did. There are so many other policies that could help the average American: child tax credit, free daycare, things that could support families or the average working American. But instead, Donald Trump has decided to reverse a lot of the protections, reverse the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and now cut funding from the Department of Labor, which will directly affect workplace safety. We're going to talk about all of this. As always, make sure to drop a like, make sure to subscribe to the Adam Ockler feed. And rather than me starting off with the argument as to why Trump is wasting taxpayer dollars by paying January 6thers $1.8 billion with a slush fund, I'm going to let Republican Senator Tom Tillis lead the argument. Double check to make sure you are subscribed to the Adam Ockler feed.
I think it's stupid on stilts.
Why?
Because it will invariably put us in a position where your taxpayer dollars and my taxpayer dollars could potentially compensate someone who assaulted a police officer, admitted their guilt, got convicted, got pardoned, and now we're going to pay them for that? That's absurd. The American people are going to reject this out of hand. When you take money from me to give to a purpose that I vehemently disagree with, that's tyranny, and that's what that account is.
Really, really well said. I also want to transition over to Colin McDonald, the Assistant Attorney General for National Fraud Enforcement, getting asked kind of a tough question and trying to skirt out of it. So it's hard to hear the question in this video, so let me just say it for you really quickly. He gets asked, President Trump has granted clemency to numerous individuals who stole millions of dollars in Medicaid funds. Can we expect any of the folks that you're talking about today to be shown the same mercy in the future?
Attorney Rosen, we'll do one final question. Yes, sir.
Max Nestor, Minnesota Reformer. President Trump has granted clemency to numerous individuals who have stolen hundreds of millions of dollars in Medicaid funds. Can we expect Amy Bach or any of these folks to be shown the same mercy in the future?
I'll take a different question as the final question. Yes, sir.
Oh, my God. They can't take any hard questions. Look at the guy's mouth is like agape throughout the question being asked. He doesn't even know how to answer this in any meaningful way. Here's Donald Trump answering for the $1.7 to $1.8 billion proposed slush fund.
Mr. President, the Justice Department has this new fund that was announced today, $1.7 billion.
Yeah.
Why should taxpayers pay for the January 6th?
Well, it's been very well received, I have to tell you. I know very little about it. I wasn't involved in the whole creation of it and the negotiation. But this is reimbursing people that were horribly treated. It's anti-weaponization. They've been weaponized. They've been, in some cases, imprisoned wrongly. They paid legal fees that they didn't have. They've gone bankrupt. Their lives have been destroyed. And they turn out to be right. I mean, it was a terrible period of time in the history of our country.
Whoa, okay, let's compare this to the way Senator Tom Tillis laid it out. These are people who beat officers and stormed the Capitol building. They admitted their guilt, and they were in trouble until Donald Trump swooped in to pardon them. We're now asking money from you and I. They're now asking for money from you and I to go towards these exact people as some form of, like, reparations. At this exact same time, the economy is struggling so incredibly much so. Daniel Dale from CNN points out beef prices hit another record high in April. At the same time, President Trump is claiming beef is coming down, prices are down. That is what Donald Trump is claiming. Today, we learned that truckload spot rates have hit an all-time high, topping the COVID peak. I responded, the cost to ship things by truck has almost doubled under the Trump administration. Given that trucks move most goods in the United States, this will be a huge driver of inflation this summer. You can even see where COVID and all other supply chain disruptions spiked this index right here. But by the time Biden left in early 2025, it was down here. It was steady-handed, and Trump has effectively spiked it all the way back up. This is all without even mentioning the ballroom that Trump is asking for $1 billion to build.
Including, as an example, a drone port on top of which was top secret until litigation made it less than top secret. But we have a drone port. We have the glass that's 4 inches thick. Bulletproof glass, we have bulletproof walls, we have things. You need a place like this. But this is being made as a gift from me and other people that are great patriots that spend a lot of money. We're building what will be the finest ballroom anywhere in the world, including as an example.
Nobody cares about the finest ballroom anywhere in the world. I'm going to bring in a labor market expert named Alexander to talk about this further, because he'll be able to break down the real effects of these cuts. As always, make sure you follow Alexander below, follow us below, and watch until the end. All right, I'd like to welcome in Alexander from Urgently Firing. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Adam. Thank you for having me.
So at a time when our politicians are claiming that prices are going down, that the labor force is strong, they're basically lying to the face of the American people, the stats that we look at paint a very, very different picture. In fact, Trump is further gutting the Department of Labor, or they're planning on doing it, in next year's fiscal budget. Can you just explain to me the broad cuts that are happening at the Department of Labor and then the implications on the workforce?
Yeah, absolutely. So while nothing is confirmed at the moment, over the past year, pretty much every fiscal budget proposal that we have seen has tried to reduce the Department of Labor by anywhere from 25 to 35%. It was 35% during the height of DOGE last year, and now there are more very specific cuts that are being debated in Congress today that we may or may not see going into next year. So one of the big ones that we're seeing is an attempt to eliminate the Employment and Training Administration, which oversees things like apprenticeship grants, rural workforce development, workforce innovation programs, kind of things under that umbrella. Another big kind of attempt at cuts that we're seeing are cuts to the staff of enforcement agencies. So organizations like OSHA or the Wage and Hour Division, which would basically, you know, a trickle-down effect of that would basically make it so that companies would be able to commit more wage theft without being held accountable for it, because that enforcement agency is what investigates and enforces rules around wages. And then, you know, if OSHA is cut, then especially in the blue-collar world, that's just going to lead to even more workplace danger and less oversight to make sure that, you know, our workers are safe here in the United States. So those are kind of the big cuts. And then we do see a lot of attempts to restructure the Bureau of Labor Statistics more broadly, which oversees, you know, as many people know, oversees employment data, other job market statistics, but it also tracks inflation in the United States. And so a restructuring of the BLS worst case scenario could mean dysregulating or even no longer tracking our employment data and other kind of financial data that affects everyday Americans.
And without that data, a lot of businesses, small and large, would be basically operating with a blindfold on, with nothing to guide them in their decision making, or at least a lot less data to guide them. There are a few different things that I took from what you were talking about that just remind me of the problems young people are facing, people all across the job market, but a lot of young people. These apprenticeship grants and programs are uniquely important at a time when AI is beginning to replace some of these lower level jobs, like some of these early career jobs. I have friends who are directly out of college, and during the formative years in which they're supposed to be gaining experience, being an apprentice or having a mentor or shadowing somebody, they're being replaced with AI. So they can't get that formative experience, and they get kind of shifted over to some other field. I also thought it was interesting that you talked about OSHA and the enforcement agencies. I heard you talking about this, but apparently the government tried to union bust back in the 70s, and it had a very similar effect, right? Where people were forced to go into more white collar jobs due to the OSHA requirements, or the requirements at the time weakening. Is this all true?
Yeah. So back in the 70s, and we even, I can link you to some data on this too, if you would like the actual sourcing on this. Yeah. But back in the 70s, one of the impacts that happened with all of the union busting that took place up through the 70s and 80s was that we saw a lot of young men, especially, move out of blue collar jobs in the United States and transition into white collar work. And it wasn't even just workforce safety per se. The fact that the unions were busted also kind of dysregulated wages that were in a lot of blue collar professions previously. So young men in particular could no longer really depend on, say, the manufacturing industry to provide them enough money to support a family, to get a home. And that's pretty much the trend that we've been seeing over the past half century in the United States, is that a lot of the real money is either in very highly skilled trades, or it's in the white collar world. It's in tech, it's in business, it's in, you know, something else.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just, right now I view it as an absolute mess. We were talking a little bit before the show, but young people are very anxious. Young people already have a lot of anxiety due to AI, due to a weakening job market. And when we see that they're going to be cutting, or potentially they're floating the idea of cutting a budget from the Department of Labor, it just reminds me of the fact that in the same proposal, they want to increase the military budget by 60% to pay for missiles that we're wasting on a war that is failing. It's absurd to me, the allocation of money right now. But Alex, thank you for joining. Let's do this again very, very soon. I really, really enjoyed chatting. We have a lot more to cover, so we'll have you on again soon.
Yeah, of course. I'd be more than willing to chat again. Thanks again for having me, Adam.
Peace out.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here. And you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino, with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.